No matter how paranoid or conspiracy-minded you are, what the government is actually doing is worse than you imagine. And this week's opening quote comes from former US State Department employee William Blum. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, folks, myself and many others have been warning of the coming technocracy, the smart grid that's rolling out across all of our nations, and what this is really going to be doing. It's a pretty dystopian future that we're heading into. And myself and a lot of other people have been warning that this is coming for quite some time now. And folks, well, it's pretty well here. We're no longer waiting for it to roll out. It is now being rolled out. It's being rolled out in Darwin here in Australia. Australia's first smart city is coming online in Darwin. And we've also got facial recognition and CCTV cameras being rolled out across Brisbane and Perth. I mean, we've already had CCTV cameras in many places, but not equipped with facial recognition technology. And where this technology is coming from is actually coming from China. It's the same system that they've used in China. And where they got it from was actually from England. It's the BAE Systems technology. This technology has been sold to some of the more oppressive states in the Middle East. This is the technology that is used to control the people in Dubai. Dubai is the most surveilled city on earth. And people in Dubai have reported that life there is now extremely uncomfortable. People are unable to do anything that they really want to do for fear of being arrested or vilified. People have described the feeling of living in Dubai as it's as if you have a stranger standing in your bedroom. And of course, people that have made such statements have been quick to disappear and have been found after months of searching to have been locked up in solitary confinement for many months on end. This is the way it is, folks, in Dubai. The surveillance is through the roof, the same as the way it is in China, and if you complain about it, you simply disappear. There was actually a report that I saw about this released by the BBC. Very surprising to see an actual real report being released by the BBC, but I would say this is because of what has been happening with the world media machine blanket across the world since Christchurch, because the attacks we've seen against the media here in Australia, against the ABC offices, this should be sending warning bells to every media association around the world, because these people who have acted like the official mouthpieces of government and have been feeding us this rubbish and manufacturing false news stories and all the stuff the media has been doing for so many years, now it's coming home to roost with them as well, because now they are realizing that they've actually been paving the way for their own enslavement as well, that the government doesn't care about them any more than it cares about anybody else. So the media's false reporting for many years is now coming back home to hit them, and that would be why we're seeing articles such as this put out by the BBC. Suddenly they're going, oh my God, the conspiracy theorists were right, and we're now in the firing line as well. And of course you are, because you were always intended to be in the firing line. And next it will be the police. The police will find that the government doesn't care about them either. And anybody who attempts to rock the boat within the police force, I mean, we're already seeing this. These people get vilified forever daring to blow the whistle on what's actually going on within the police force. So we can see all of these organizations are now realizing that it's coming home to hit them. So it's kind of good to see these articles being put out, articles such as this being put out by the BBC. But, well, it's a little too late, I would say. And now you're seeing these mainstream journalists having to lay in the bed that they've made for themselves. But that's where the technology is coming from, folks. It's coming from BAE Systems, and it's the same technology that's been rolled out in China, the same technology that's been rolled out to create some incredibly repressive states in the Middle East, such as what we're seeing in Dubai. There's talk of them also using it in Canada, and here again we see an outcry from the mainstream, because many of the tech giants, the people who are actually manufacturing the software and manufacturing the technology, are now speaking out and warning the government that should they put this in place, it will be very dangerous because it will spell the end of freedom. So again, we are seeing that these people who have been spinning the line to the public for so long are now realizing that all of their deeds and actions are now coming back to hit them in the face and are affecting them just as much as they're affecting us. So knowledge of how bad this is actually going to be is kind of moving up the food chain, if that's the way you want to describe it. I mean, it's with the people, we already knew how bad this was going to be. Now the scientists are figuring out how bad it's going to be. Now the media is figuring out how bad it's going to be. So all we're left with is for the people with the dollar signs in their eyes, the politicians and the top financial people, for them to figure out how bad it's going to be, because ultimately it's going to come for them as well, because eventually it's all going to move over to AI. And when it's all AI, AI is not going to differentiate between a politician and a peasant. It'll all be run by algorithms, and the algorithms will determine who is desirable and who is not, and it will all be determined by the parameters that the system itself creates and dictates. I mean, it may start off with human parameters to start with. We may have people there controlling it and setting these algorithms in place to begin with, but once the AI takes over, then it will do its own programming, and it will figure out what is best for us. And that's the way it will be unless it is stopped now. And that's what we need to focus on, folks. We need to stop this technology rolling out, because it is coming. It's coming in all countries. It's being rolled out, as I said, everywhere around the world. It's been rolled out across the Middle East already. We're seeing it in China. There's talk of it in Canada. And this is also what is being used in Australia to surveil the citizens here. And it goes pretty deep as well, folks. The whole surveillance system, as I've often said, it's a weapons system more than anything. Apart from communication and all the other things that they're telling us it does, it's actually a weapons system. And these weapons systems come in all shapes and forms. The most commonly known, I would say, would probably be a microwave cannon, which is what is used for crowd control, crowd dispersal. And people think, well, no, this is a different thing, but it's really the same thing, because it's all 5G technology. And even when you're looking at these systems, you may think, well, that's a different thing. I mean, a 5G tower looks different to a microwave cannon, but ultimately it's the same sort of device. It's just shaped differently. And all you've actually got to do to a 5G antenna to turn it into a microwave cannon is increase the voltage. And you've got people who make these surveillance systems, BAE, these are the ones who are making all this facial recognition and all this 5G stuff. This happened to also be the same company who manufactured microwave cannons, and I think that should be of interest to people. BAE Technologies, BAE Systems, actually construct these same weapon systems, and they're quite open about it. They are quite open with the microwave devices they use, signal jammers, and these quite small devices that can be mounted on any ship or any platform, any plane, anything really, that can be used to disrupt any type of electromagnetic device and can also be used for crowd control. And all of these things are 5G related. See, that's the problem with 5G, folks, is the fact that it's a weapons system. And the fact that we're allowing this weapons system to be rolled out across our cities, and apart from the other things that they're doing as well, like the LED lighting that they're putting around our streets now as well, this is very, very bad for you, this white LED lighting. Lots of health damage comes from these things. And it's all getting pretty in your face, it really is. This surveillance and facial recognition software and equipment that they're using as well, this is the same equipment that was reported by the ABC journalist that was recently visited by the Australian Federal Police. This was reported back in 2018 that they were using this very sophisticated military-grade technology. They were using it against citizens. This technology was actually rejected by the United States. They said it was too intrusive to use on the people of the United States. And that's really saying something, folks, because the United States is pretty much a surveillance state as it is, but even the United States rejecting it was not enough to cause the parasites running the Australian government to back down. They just fell over themselves to grab it and put it in place in Australia as quickly as they could. And it was the fact that they were putting this technology in place, which was the focus of the report by the ABC last year, which, as I said, caused their officers to be raided this year after they had set the precedent with the Julian Assange debacle, the way they staged all that and used it to break down the international legal system and break down protection for whistleblowers. I mean, all these things were in the cards for a while, in the pipeline for a while, but they had to kind of test the waters and make a public spectacle of it with the arrest and subsequent incarceration and quite possibly extradition of Julian Assange. I mean, the extradition of Julian Assange, it still is very possible. they're telling us that they're not going to do it, but they tell us one thing and then they do the other thing anyway. The way the Ecuadorian embassy told us there was no way they were actually going to throw Assange out, and then they threw him out the next day. So you never know where it's going with these people, folks. They make up so much stuff. I mean, so much of the stuff that we see on the news is completely and utterly fabricated, and it's all designed to lead humanity in a certain direction, and they're quite good at it. They really are. Well, they're very practiced at it anyway. Whether they're good at it, that's another question. I mean, many people with eyes to see can see straight through it, but they're certainly very practiced at it, and much of the general population out there simply goes along with whatever the TV tells them anyway, which is a real problem. And in fact, I would even suggest that this is set to become an even bigger problem with the advent of deep fake technology that I'm seeing more and more of. So we're not going to know what we're hearing from anybody pretty soon, folks. This may even spell the end of the independent media, the end of whatever truth movement we once have may thought we had. And I might come back to that a little bit later. But as I said, folks, it is getting very in your face. A lot of it is coming home to roost right now, and it's imperative that people pay attention. There's also talk of New South Wales introducing digital licenses on your smartphones. This is something that I talked about a couple of months ago. I warned this would be where we would be going. The article that came out was, of course, in the Daily Mail, so you can't really trust the article. But you'll find that a lot of these tabloids will put out articles like this just to test the waters and plant that seed in the minds of the public. And people will laugh at it and fob it off because it's in the Daily Mail. They'll say, well, that's just one of those tabloids. It doesn't really mean anything. They'll tell you that the Queen's secret son just married an alien as well, you know, so they do this sort of stuff so people just will not pay attention to it and will throw the baby out with the bathwater and not really notice the tech as it rolls out. But you'll find that you'll see it in mainstream reports before too long as well. There'll be talk that they're trialing this in New South Wales, and you can opt in to have this great, fantastic new technology while we trial whether it's going to be sufficient for your security and whether we can improve your security and all the sorts of stuff that they'll give you to push this, when really it's not about improving your security, it's about improving theirs and taking yours away from you, as is always the case with anything the government does. And of course, the way they've linked everything up to people's smartphones, and they've claimed that this was for your security, to keep your identity safe, no, it wasn't, folks. It was just so that they could eventually transfer licenses and things like this onto your smartphone so that when you get pulled over on the side of the road, the police can have access to not just your license and check if you've got any points down on your license or any warrants out for you for driving offences, but they can then check your entire life's profile, your entire social profile, and know everything that you've done for the last 7 years, everybody you've spoken to, everywhere you've been, and if you become any type of person of interest at all, anything that they see at all, which is a red flag, they can basically take you off the street and deliver you to a smart prison. This is how they will deal with dissenters, folks. All they have to do is get it all related so they've got all your history on one device and have you carrying that device with you anywhere so that your whole life is put on display for anybody who wants to pull you over. And that's it. They've got everybody locked down. They've got everybody too scared to think outside the box. And anybody who has thought outside the box previous to that point can be taken away for questioning because they may be a danger to society and eventually they can be eliminated. All to keep us safe, of course. This is the massive amount of censorship that we're seeing riding off the back of Christchurch. And this has been such a multi-prong event. It really has. I mean, they've managed to get away with gun confiscation in New Zealand. It was majorly about that. And I think they might be having a little bit of trouble with getting the people to go along with it, but they're still pushing for it. So that's what it was majorly about in New Zealand. But also, it was about censorship and it's been played very well. I mean, there's so much theatre going on at the moment. We're seeing a lot of talk about internet censorship. We're seeing a lot of sections of the independent media being vilified for fake news and all sorts of stuff. You know, all riding off the domino effect that they've created from Sandy Hook through to Pizzagate and now through to Christchurch. And it's all interrelated, all interconnected. And it's all been about gun confiscation and it's all been about censorship, locking down all the dissenting voices. And we're seeing it very much happening in England, New Zealand and Australia. And in many places across Europe, and as much as many people may not be prepared to admit it, this is going to come to the United States as well. I mean, it's much more difficult for them to do it in the United States because the entire population is armed. So what they've done is they brought out the TAPS legislation, the new bill, H.R. 838, the Threat Assessment Prevention and Safety Act, which is designed to identify people who think outside the box so they can be classed as a danger to society and eventually disarmed. I mean, this is the way they're going to do it in the United States. They've done it also with the legalization of weed in the United States. A lot of people are very overjoyed that they've legalized weed, and it's a good thing. Weed should be legal. But what they've done in the United States is they've also made it a little thing there on the side that if you are a registered weed user, then you are also not able to be a registered firearm owner. And I'm not sure if that's in all states, but it's certainly in place in some states. That's what I'm hearing from people anyway. You can't own a gun if you smoke weed, folks, because you could be a danger to society. So through the legalization of weed and by separating weed registration and gun ownership and by bringing in the Threat Assessment Prevention and Safety Act, they can effectively disarm the people of the United States as well. And it certainly makes sense that the government would play it that way. And you'll see this same type of surveillance and the same type of legislation that we're seeing in New Zealand, Australia and England being eventually put in place in the United States as well. But they need to get rid of the more patriotic-minded people first, and they can do this, again, through the legalization of weed and through the TAPS legislation, Bill HR 838. That's what it's all designed to do, folks. But it's all ultimately leading in the same direction. And it's happening in every country which is part of the Five Eyes Network. That's Australia, New Zealand, Canada, England, United States, and other countries as well, but mainly in these five. Naturally, there's still the constant attempt to distract people with the theatre of war and all the stuff they're doing, the posturing against Iran. Notice how classic this is, folks. I mean, Trump has been bullying Iran as much as he possibly can while saying that he really doesn't want to have a war with Iran and he's doing it just to keep people safe. But really, he's just acting like a bully. And recently I said that we'd probably see a false flag event in the Persian Gulf. I thought it may be possibly the Abraham Lincoln. What we've seen in its stead was an attack against an empty oil tanker in the Persian Gulf, and this tanker was empty, folks. They're saying, oh, we know Iran attacked it. This was an act of war by Iran, but it was just an old empty tanker. And we know it's empty because you can see the plimsoll line above the water. I mean, the plimsoll line is there so that you know when the ship is full. The plimsoll line actually goes down. This is the red line, the red paint below the ship's waterline. This actually goes down level with the waterline when the ship is full. But the plimsoll line was way above the level of the water, which indicates that the ship was empty. And also, if it had oil in it, folks, you would see a lot of oil leaking from the ship, and you would see oil fires for a few meters around the ship. And we didn't see any of that. So this was an old empty rust bucket tanker that they just didn't want, that they've probably hit themselves and blamed on Iran, just to try to kickstart the war that Donald Trump is desperately trying to avoid, so he says. You know, and you can look at it, folks. I mean, it's like the old Western gunslinger movies, you know, when you had the bad gunslinger who wanted to pick on the little weak guy in town. So he'd throw a gun on the ground and say, pick it up, go on, pick it up. And then as soon as he picked it up, he'll shoot him and say, well, you saw him, he had a gun. He was threatening me, you know, and they do that sort of stuff. It's the same thing. You know, here you've got Donald Trump saying he really doesn't want to have a war with Iran. You've got US bases like chock-a-block right around Iran, virtually surrounding the entire country. And then Donald Trump puts sanctions on them, so all the children are starving. And then he goes and puts a war fleet right next to them and says, we're not trying to have a war. We don't want to hurt you at all. We're just trying to do the right thing and protect the world. And then there's just this oil tanker, this empty tanker that suddenly gets attacked. I mean, anyone who can't see through this, I don't know, folks, you must have rocks in your head. But this is just classic high school bully tactics from Donald Trump, who's actually pretending to be a man and pretending to be the president and acting like a grade school bully. It's pretty ridiculous, pretty embarrassing to see from a grown man who's claiming that he can think clearly. But this is basically what's going on, folks. Trump is just being a bully, the same as all the presidents that have come before him. But again, he's doing so because he's a puppet. And really, we've got Jared Kushner running the whole show with US foreign policy anyway. And seriously, folks, I mean, if Iran was going to mount an attack, do you think they'd really attack an empty oil tanker off the coast of Oman? I don't think so. I don't think that would be the target that they would go for. Oh, yes, let's go and attack an empty oil tanker because that will provoke the fleet that's poised there wanting to bomb us to actually do so. Let's do that. That'll be good for the people and for the country. It's ridiculous. I mean, Israel has been attempting to kickstart a war with Iran for years, and Donald Trump is the most pro-Israeli president that we've ever seen. Virtually every act of foreign policy that Donald Trump has made has been to support the state of Israel, so there's no reason to believe that this posturing against Iran is anything different. But again, this is just theater, distraction to keep people believing that the threat of war is constant, that there's a desperate need to keep the bomb factories up to full production, and it's just the same game the United States has been playing for years. I mean, nothing has changed. All they've done is put a different face on the coin, and we've got the whole Q narrative and all of this stuff, whereby large sections of the truth movement actually believe Donald Trump is in there batting for them. I mean, they still believe it after all the stuff that's happened. They still believe this. It sort of boggles the mind, but there are many people that are thinking that, and we're going to see Trump elected again, I'd say, folks, because they're putting creepy Joe Biden up against him, and no one's going to be voting for this pedophile. It seems very doubtful that they will anyway. And so it's just one big continuation of the same theatrics. An interesting wild card this year that no one will probably hear about, I believe Adam Kokesh is actually running for president this year as well. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And whether you're a fan of Adam Kokesh's or not, I'm sure he'd make a better president than Donald Trump or creepy Joe Biden. Not that I believe that there's really much you can do from that position anyway, because the presidential office is simply a puppet show. It's simply a mouthpiece for the corporations. And what really runs the United States is the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and the banking interests that control them. And of course, let's not forget the creepy, shadowy hand of Israel, which seems to control most of the world, no matter where we look. But anyway, getting back onto some type of topic, I mean, this whole 5G smart reality that's rolling out around us, it's affecting us in so many ways. I mentioned before the white streetlights, the LED streetlights. These are doing an enormous amount of damage to people. If you go and look up the health reports about this type of light, it's really not good for you at all. And this has been promoted through the system as well. I mean, we've got the kids supporting this sort of stuff through school. They've been programmed into this mentality because they think by using all of these LED lighting and all these sorts of things, it's saving energy, which is going to save the planet, you know, because of climate change and all the stuff that we're told by the scholastic system, which is all a complete load of rubbish. And they do this every 12 years, folks. They do it for every group of kids coming through school. Every 12 years, there's a new global catastrophe that's about to destroy the world in 12 years. And it changes every 12 years because it takes 12 years to get through high school. That's the way they play it. Now, back in 1967, they told us we were heading for an ice age, and by the 1980s, the world was going to be frozen over. In 1977, they told us that there was acid rain that was destroying everything, and all the crops were going to be gone. We're going to have no food by around about 1990. In 1989, they told us that global warming was here and that the oceans were going to rise and that the world was going to be flooded by the year 2000. Then in 1999, they changed it to climate change, and they've kind of stuck with that because they've realized that, well, climate change can kind of encompass everything. And every 12 years, they bring out a new scaremongering tactic for the next generation that is starting school to program them into this mentality. So then you get kids out there marching in the street saying, we're here to save the world because the world's going to be gone in 12 years. And we want LED street lighting. We want all of this coal-fired power stations to go. We want all this stuff to go because we want to save the world because all you adults did nothing about it. And they just don't realize that it's been the same thing every 12 years. It happens to every generation coming through school. And they're really getting the kids on board now because by promoting this concept to the kids that they're actually saving the world by pushing this LED lighting and all this stuff, they don't realize that they're actually pushing for the destruction of their own health, they're pushing for the destruction of their own freedoms, the destruction of life as we know it, and they are leading the world into a smart prison under the pretext of keeping it safe from climate change, which is all completely fabricated. It's very clever the way they do it. And the kids out there are really pushing this, thinking they're doing the right thing. This is kind of what they've done to activism. I mean, kids are naturally active. In my day and age, when kids were young, we were protesting the wars. We were trying to stop all this corporate takeover of the world. But by the same token, we were still trying to save the world the way the children are doing now, the way the young kids coming through school are doing now. The problem is what they're getting fed by the education system has completely shifted their focus so that unbeknownst to themselves, they're actually supporting the system. They're supporting everything that is wrong with the world, and they've been trained to think that they're actually doing something to save the world because the kids have been taught to think that government is actually their friend and they will make a difference if they protest government. They don't realize that what they're protesting is actually pushing the government agenda because all of these agendas have been given to them and they're all based on false parameters, such as the disastrous end of the world that we're presented with every 12 years, being a different disaster, whatever it is they can manufacture to mold the minds of the people. But that's really the core of the problem in regard to what the kids are doing, folks, is that back when I was a child, we knew that the government was not our friend and that there was still some sort of reasonable level of free thinking and open discussion in the education system. So we could protest this sort of stuff and we could see where the damage was coming from. Whereas now the kids actually believe the government is their friend. They believe that the education system is teaching them the truth and they believe that any information that they really want to find, they can find through Google because Google will always tell them the truth because the computer doesn't lie. This is the way people have unfortunately been programmed, and that's why the protests have been so easily misdirected. They're not realizing that it's all part and parcel to the same thing. All the wars are manufactured, all the climate change, everything, all this stuff, it's all manufactured. There's a big agenda going on here, much, much bigger picture than what people are looking at. And everything that happens, happens for a reason. All of the major events that we see in the world are all designed to lead the world into one particular direction by maintaining a control over what people believe is true. Just maintaining control of public perception of what reality is. They can shift reality into whatever point they want to shift it into and in whatever direction they want to go. And that's what the kids are missing, unfortunately. But even saying that, I mean, I think there are a lot that are actually seeing that they're being played and there's a big awakening happening in that world as well. I mean, a lot of the young kids have really had enough of this system. A lot of people around the world, actually, in all walks of life have had enough of this system. So it's going to be interesting to see how far they can really push it. I mean, they're really, really pushing it this year, but it's happening so quickly that a lot of people are waking up to it and they're kind of stumbling over themselves. You know, they've had to move too fast at this end part because they've exposed themselves so much. And if people really do get a wind of what's going on here, these people are going to find themselves in some pretty severe hot water. So that's why they're trying to roll things out so quickly to just curb this awakening that's happening before the awakening turns into a rebellion. But anyway, folks, I think we have reached break time, so I better leave it there for now. We're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so interesting times we're facing indeed with this whole smart grid. And what is the solution? That's what everybody wants to know. What can we do to stop this tech from rolling out and completely taking over our lives? Well, there's the action that the barrister Ray Broomhall has been mounting to address the assault that we're all under from the 5G towers. But there's also a protest that you can make in your own home, and it's the protest that I've been suggesting you make for many years now, and that is to stop using smart technology. Now, throw away your smartphones, folks. I mean, it may seem incredibly hard to do, and it may seem completely out of the question to a lot of people, but that is how they are controlling you, is through the smartphone. And if your kids are going to one of these schools where they're giving the kids iPads at a very early age and giving them all this technology at school and getting them indoctrinated into using it, take your kids out of those schools and put them into other schools. You know that there are schools that the elite send their children to that are tech-free schools, where kids actually learn to write with a pencil and paper and they do everything tech-free. And this is because this encourages learning, whereas using smart technology doesn't. It encourages indoctrination and it inhibits learning. That's the one protest you can make. I mean, you know, people say, how could I listen to your radio shows if I didn't have a smartphone? Well, you know, you could go to my website, you could download the MP3 and you could play it on an MP3 player while you're driving to work or doing whatever you're doing in your car or going for a jog or whatever you do. A lot of people like the podcast because they like just the audio. Well, you can get that from my website as an MP3. Just go to the radio archives, right-click the link that says podcast or the link on the page where the video is and just right-click where it says MP3, download it, save the file and play it on your MP3 player. Have a computer at home, have a laptop at home or a desktop computer at home. You can access the internet. You can do all your emails. You can do all of that stuff from a home computer. You don't need to have it on a cell phone all the time. You don't need this instantaneous communication to the internet everywhere you go. And avoid all of the automated systems. Avoid all cashless stores. Avoid all attendant-free checkouts, self-checkouting, all of this sort of stuff. Avoid all the smart technologies. You know, stop using your cell phone and you will stop the rollout of this smart grid. It's as simple as that. It can't work if people don't carry smartphones with them everywhere. That's the basis of the whole thing. And this is what is going to lead people into being microchipped eventually. I mean, that's where they want to go because, you know, they start putting driver's license and things on your phone and eventually you're going to smash your phone. You're going to drop your phone. You won't be able to display your license. So it's going to be much easier to just put it on a chip in your arm and they can just scan your chip and they can get it up on a screen and they can see all your details that way. That's the way they'll be leading it into, folks. They might even be able to do this through retinal scans eventually. They can put all your details on the cloud somewhere and have it all accessed by your retinal scan or by your fingerprint or by your bioacoustic resonance or any means they've got at their disposal of doing this. But it all depends on us being led in that direction, which again, in turn, depends on us using the smart technology now. This is the protest that everybody can make. You know, everybody wants the solution to the problem. You know, people listen to the shows and they say, well, we've got all these issues and all this stuff coming down. How do we stop it? Well, that's how you stop it, folks. You know, that's the problem. You know, everybody wants the solution, but they're not prepared to actually participate in creating that solution themselves. They just want to get the newsletter to tell them that the world has changed and it's safe to go outside now. But you need to participate, and really the best way you can participate is by non-participation. So you really don't have to do anything to mount the protests that you need to mount. That's the thing. But even without even looking at it, people aren't prepared to take that step because they're not prepared to disconnect from the system. They're not prepared to actually make the break themselves. They want the world to change, but they still want to use the tech that they've got. They still want all the conveniences. They're not prepared to go back to what it means to be a human being. And that's the problem. You know, people want change. People want to see a better world, but they're not prepared to do the one thing that will create a better world. But if you're not prepared to do that, then what's the point of even watching these videos? What's the point of getting all the knowledge that you get online about how the world is corrupted and how the system is corrupted and where we're all going and this terrible dystopian future that's happening? What's the point of even getting this information if you're not prepared to do the one thing that can stop it all and stop this dystopian future from unfolding? If you're not prepared to make this stand, then what's the point of even protesting the system? What's the point of complaining about what's coming? What's the point of even living in fear of the smart grid or in fear of this terrible government or in fear of all this stuff that's happening if you're not prepared to do the one thing that could stop it all happening? You know, who's going to make a stand for you if it isn't going to be you? You know, this is something that you can do without participating in the system at all, something you can do without protesting. You can do it by staying home. Just stop using your smartphone. You know, I've had it in the description to my videos for, you know, years and years and years. It's been right there at the bottom of my description. Turn off your television, throw away your smartphone. And it's so imperative that people do this, and other people are getting it now as well. I saw a video by a woman the other day called Amazing Polly. And the video was called, I Know How We Can Hurt Them. And I looked at it, and what she was saying was, hey, folks, it's the smartphone. Throw away your smartphone, and not only will you be hurting them, you'll actually be saving yourself money because you won't be paying all these fees and doing all this stuff that the smartphone is costing you. This is the thing as well, folks. It's like we're paying for our own ankle bracelets to carry these things around. You know, we're paying to put ourselves under surveillance. Well, I'm not, but many people are. And it seems a very, very bizarre thing for people to be doing just for the sake of convenience. But, you know, they do this stuff simply because we use the tech, folks. We choose to go down that path. And if we choose to do something different and choose to connect with our humanity again, choose to get back to what we once were and back to what we should be, then we can circumvent this whole thing before they finish rolling it out. But the decision is with the people. It's with you. It's with what you are doing in your everyday life. And this is something that I've been sharing for many years now. And a lot of people seem to be getting it. A lot of people are realizing that, hey, it is the smartphone. This thing is actually not doing me any favors. And hopefully more people will get it. But it's getting the message to the kids is the difficult part. And that's why people really do need to pay attention to their children's education, what they've been taught at school, what devices they've been given at school, where they've been led, because that's where it all starts. You know, we get inculcated, indoctrinated into this system. And it was bad enough when I was at school. That was 40, 50 years ago. So I can only imagine what it's like now. And that's where the focus needs to be, you know, just in what you're doing in your everyday lives and in what is being taught to your children. It's imperative that people pay attention to their children's education. It really is. Go check out the school. Go and ask them what they're doing. And if this tech is being used with the kids, if your kids are, you know, you're receiving a form from the school and, you know, your requirements for the year and it's telling you like iPads and all this sort of stuff, take your kids out of that school, put them into another school, or at least go and ask the school why they are fostering dopamine addiction in children, because that's what this is. And they're going to keep doing it if you don't go and ask the questions and put them on the spot and at least cause them to ask the questions as well. I mean, many of them will tell you, look, we don't have a choice. This is the curriculum. Say, well, why aren't you questioning the curriculum? Who's the person who put the curriculum in place? Because this is fostering dopamine addiction in my child and I'm not happy with this. If someone's putting this in place and saying this is a must be, well, this is child abuse. I'd like to know why the system is advocating child abuse. And we need to investigate this because it's not acceptable. And don't take no for an answer. Stand up for yourself. You know, the future depends on it. It really does. You know, we're in a state of clear and present danger here and people need to get motivated. They really do. You know, and I know it's hard. I know it's a thing that makes you feel alienated even thinking about throwing away your smartphone. Well, what would my friends think if I couldn't receive texts from them every 5 minutes, if I couldn't look at the latest picture they post on Snapchat or Instagram or whatever? You know, and that's what a lot of it is. It's peer group pressure. And people think, well, yeah, I really want the world to change, but I need my smartphone. But think about it, folks. You don't actually need it at all. 10 years ago, they hadn't been invented. You didn't need them then. We didn't need them for years of my life, 50 years. I'd never even heard of them. And now here they are. Everybody suddenly needs them for everything they do. But you don't actually need it. The reason you think you do need it is dopamine addiction. You may not realize that, but that's what it is. That's why you pick it up and look at it and pick it up and click it and just pick it up and swipe it and just check things and see what's happening on Facebook or see what's happening here or see what's happening there. It's dopamine. You don't need this information streaming into you all the time. You don't need this constant pleasure from every moment. That's what it is. I mean, we're having a society constructed around us. We're having a mentality foisted upon us whereby people measure every moment by the amount of pleasure they receive from that moment. And it's all about dopamine release. And through the icons and through the stuff they do on the phone, sometimes when I'm on the aircraft, I'll see people playing on iPads, like kids playing these games or whatever, Minecraft and stuff like this. And when they hit a mine, all these little stars and things cascade, and there's hundreds of them, dozens of them, all falling around the place on the ground. Every one of them is a dopamine release. I see people playing these little Tetris-type games as well on their laptops, and again, it's all these fountains of stuff happening, big sparkly explosions and things. Every one of them is a dopamine release, thousands of them per minute sometimes people are getting. And so they're measuring every second by the amount of pleasure they receive from that moment, from that second. This destroys the dopamine production in their body. It destroys serotonin receptors. It destroys so much in our consciousness, just being subject to this all the time. And it is this dopamine addiction that keeps people attracted to these cell phones. It keeps people believing they need their cell phone to get through the day. They need their cell phone to perform all sorts of everyday activities that they used to actually do themselves. Now think about it, folks. You don't need this thing. And if you throw it away, they can't track you the way they are. If you throw it away, this smart grid cannot roll out. And if you don't make the decision to do that, then you're just allowing yourself to be led into this prison. And where it's going to end up is going to be a prison of our own design, simply because we didn't participate in the one solution that could have prevented it happening. And that solution is to reconnect with what it means to be human, because we're being led into the zombie apocalypse ourselves. The zombie apocalypse, it's already happening, folks. Just get out and catch a bus or a train somewhere and see if you can strike up a conversation with anyone. You can't. You know, buses and trains used to be bustling areas of conversation. You'd be traveling along, everyone would be chatting to each other. Everywhere out in public, people would be chatting about the day, talking about this, talking about that. Nobody talks to anybody anymore. People becoming separated from everybody else. You got a whole spate of lonely women out there in the world because of the men going their own way movement, which is all designed to break down the family unit, separate the sexes, promote the transgender agenda, and all the stuff that's going on in our society, all designed to break down the human population, make them more divided, make them more controllable. You know, and sometimes I just wish I could get onto a mountaintop and scream, stop. Can I please have your attention for 5 minutes and just lay it out for the world? You know, sometimes I think if we could just get people's attention, just get people to think clearly again, you know, we could change the world in a day. We really could. It would be that simple to change things, folks. A simple shift in perspective changes everything. I say that to people and they don't believe it. They say, oh, we can never change the world in a day. Well, actually we could, folks, but you have to take the first step. I mean, well, actually you don't. I've already taken it. There's other people that have taken it for you. Not just me. There's other people as well. We've already taken this step. And all that is required is for other people to realize the truth of our situation and take that step themselves. Just get back in touch with what it means to be human. Sounds pretty out there to a lot of people. Sounds all very new age to people. But it's not. It's just simply pulling the sleep out of your eyes, taking the blinders off and standing up and looking around. And think for yourself, folks. I mean, it's so important that people think for themselves. Now, they're really attempting to shut down the independent media and to silence all dissenting voices at the moment. That's what this whole hoax meme is all about. You notice that James Fetzer has just gone to trial in the Sandy Hook versus James Fetzer case. There's someone in Sandy Hook who's challenging James Fetzer, blah, blah, blah. And very predictably, and as I mentioned to someone in an email a few weeks ago, very predictably, James Fetzer has lost the case and he will be vilified by the mainstream media and hung out to dry. A huge spectacle will be made and then he'll retire somewhere with a fat check, no doubt. But as expected, he's lost the case and they've said it that he is to pay damages. They're going to determine what that will be around about October. So this is the window that we've got. They desperately want everybody to be claiming that all of these shootings are hoaxes by the time October comes around, because then they can shift that out and set that precedent and use that to shut all of us down, whereby we'll all be subject to hefty fines and blah, blah, blah. This is what they want to do. You really got to think several moves ahead with these people and see how they play things, but everything happens for a reason. This is why I'm getting trolled so much over the Christchurch event, because I'm not supporting the COINTELPRO line that it's all fake. And even by doing that, I mean, I'm not saying it's real. What I'm doing is questioning the claims of fake that have been made, because all the claims can be proven to be false. So this is what exposes the whole agenda. Really, this is why they blew it so badly with this video. So just pay attention to what's going on, folks, and be very, very careful to think for yourself. Don't believe me. Don't believe anybody. Just believe what you can figure out for yourself. It's imperative that people do maintain this control over their own intellect and over their own consciousness. And they're manipulating this in all sorts of ways. Another false flag event we've just seen in Iran as well, that I forgot to mention earlier, the drone that's been apparently shot down over Iran. Oh, yes, Iran has made a serious mistake in doing this. They've made a very serious mistake, says Donald Trump. How do we even know they even shot a drone down? It could just be something that the news reported. But if they did shoot one down, well, why would you expect them to not shoot it down? I mean, if Iran was flying drones over the United States would shoot them down straight away and claim it was an act of war that they even sent a drone over there. And yet the United States thinks it can send a drone over Iran. And if Iran shoots it down, then it's an act of war on behalf of Iran. Complete double standard, you know. We're the United States. We can put drones over anybody's country because we're the United States. And that's what we can do. We're the world police. And we can go and spy on anybody because we're doing so to keep the United States safe, which is what the world's all about, because the world is the United States. This is kind of the thinking that the US State Department seems to have anyway. I mean, not the people. The people of the United States are pretty disgusted with their government overall, so you can't blame the people, but this is generally the way the government thinks. And so it's just more bullying on behalf of Donald Trump, attempting to provoke Iran into some sort of conflict. You know, if they're going to put bases all around the country, they're going to put sanctions against the country, they're going to send a war fleet to park right next door to the country, and the country's still not attacking them, well, perhaps they need to send a drone over the country and have it shot down. And if the Iranians don't shoot it down, well, maybe we can get Israel to shoot it down and blame it on the Iranians. Or maybe we can simply wag the dog and just put it out in the news that a drone was shot down. Maybe we don't even have to send one over there. That's really how bad the news has got, folks. And that's how much distraction we're seeing. So through it all, ladies and gentlemen, it's imperative that you think for yourself. And it's imperative that you look at the bigger picture in all of these things. I mean, question everything. It's so important that people question the narrative that they're given. And if there's a general consensus about something, just step back and look at it, you know, because just because a lot of people think something doesn't make it true. And we've seen some fine examples of this throughout history, throughout the mainstream media, and not only that, but also within the independent media as well. There's always a generally accepted consensus, and no thinking outside the box is allowed. So it's very important that people maintain their sovereignty of thought through all of the stuff that we're going to be seeing unfold in the next 6 to 18 months, ladies and gentlemen, because I think we're in for a hell of a roller coaster ride. I really do. I said at the start of this year that something big was going to happen. We were going to see some big changes this year, and it's just been snowballing ever since I said that. So hold on to your hats, folks, because you ain't seen nothing yet, and I think it's going to get far, far more interesting as the months unfold. I'm certainly hoping that I'm hoping my channel lasts through the coming months. You get little notices on your channel now telling you to check your material in case you are against YouTube's anti-hate speech policies, but I just don't bother looking at it. So it'll be interesting to see if it lasts, because I'm certainly not going to water the message down. I'm going to continue speaking. If the channel does drop offline, folks, you'll find me on the old AOD Scarecrow channel on YouTube. And if that one goes down as well, you'll find me on BitChute, and you'll also find me on the new website, LBRY, which is at the Crow House. You'll find me there as well. I'm finding it a little bit difficult with that because it's more like a torrent client, and I don't have the bandwidth to stream or download videos or do some of the stuff the client seems to want me to do. But hey, it's there for a start anyway. It's there for now. And this is where you will find me if the YouTube channel does go down. You'll also find me on my website, thecrowhouse.com. You can always get a message to me there. I've also got an account on Vimeo. I could probably go back to there. I've only got one or two videos on that, but I could start uploading to Vimeo. It's just a little bit more difficult trying to work out the coding with the videos and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, that's where we are at the moment. So hopefully the channel will last. We'll just see how it goes with the coming censorship that we can all see looming on the horizon. It is definitely coming home to roost. But, well, I think we have reached that time of the day now. It's been a pleasure to come and talk to you today. Thank you for the people on YouTube who appreciated the interview that I posted last week in replace of the radio show. I just didn't get time to do a radio show last week. And for those of you who listen to the radio show and don't watch it on YouTube, I'm sorry that I didn't get to bring you any new material last week. I just had too much on and couldn't get it done. But I thought I would post that interview on YouTube anyway, because I thought it was quite an important interview, sort of quite a human interview. I was covering ground that I don't usually cover in conversations on the show, so I just thought it was a good one to post. And thank you to all the people for so many positive comments on it. Thank you to the people as well who are sending me, continuing to send me information on Christchurch, the Christchurch shooting. Trying to track down this car is a bit of a problem. But there's a lot of effort being made to squash that information as well. I've noticed that every time I mention the car on any type of radio show, any time I mention the Silver Toyota Wilby S registration FQH875 that was seen at the New Zealand mosque shooting, I seem to get legions of trolls attacking my channel and attempting to shift focus back to discussions of whether it was hoax or there was CGI, whether there was enough blood, what the bodies were doing in the corners, and all sorts of stuff to attempt to distract away from the issue of the car. And the issue of this car and the issue of the people in red and the stuff that was actually revealed by that shooter's video, I would suggest is very possibly one of the reasons we're seeing this smart grid rolled out so quickly now, ladies and gentlemen, because the governments of the world very likely realize just how much damage that video can do to them if any focus is actually brought to the fact that the handlers and extra players and the car can actually be seen on the video, and it causes the entire official version of events to unravel. I think it's a big mistake they've made by allowing that video to come out the way it did. And that's why I think I get so much attacks and so many trolls on my channel whenever I mention that car. Because that, to me, that's what it's all about, folks. That's what the Christchurch shooting is about. It doesn't matter whether they were real, whether they were fake, or whether it was whatever. What matters is the fact that we've got the extra players on video. We've got a car on video. We have proof on video that the government is lying and the media is lying. And we have all the evidence we need to bring this system down should some focus be placed on it. And that's what is important about that. And so, again, thank you for the people that are continuing to send me information on that event. I think it is really stirring up a bit of a hornet's nest, folks. As I said, I'm getting legions of gang trolling on my channel whenever I mention it, and that seems to me to be quite relevant. I've even had one particular person cherry pick certain sentences out of larger comments that I've made to post videos to make it appear as if I'm saying statements and making claims that I actually am not making, because, as I said, it's one phrase out of a larger sentence that you can put by itself and take out of context and have someone basically saying anything they want. So this is very revealing as well. So I think the hornet's nest has been stirred up with that video, folks. So keep that focus on that information, and let's track down this car, this Silver Toyota Will VS registration FQH875, because whoever's driving that car can really help us answer a lot of questions and get this gun legislation rolled back in New Zealand and hopefully have the entire New Zealand government held accountable for their actions. So yeah, again, it's good to keep the focus on that as we are doing it. So thank you for the information that you're sending me, and thank you to the many people from New Zealand who are sending me so many kind emails regarding this event as well. There's actually one lady who's told me she very likely will have a book coming out very soon exposing what really happened in this event, so I'll be interested to see that as well. But as I said, that is pretty well it for me now, ladies and gentlemen. We've pretty well run out of time. As I've mentioned previously, I will be speaking in Philadelphia during September of this year at Anarchadelphia. You can find a link to that on my website. You'll also find if you use the coupon CROWHOUSE when buying a ticket, you'll get a discount on your ticket. I'm also going to be speaking here in Australia on the Gold Coast, actually before that event in August, at an event called Paradigm Shift, and I will get information about that on the website for you as soon as it comes to me. But that's around about the 15th or 17th of August, I think, and that is being held at Surfers Paradise here on the Gold Coast in Queensland. And then, as I said, I'll be heading over to Philadelphia to speak at Anarchadelphia. And they are the only two talks that I actually plan on doing this year, folks. So kind of having a quiet year off talking and a quiet year off travel. I'll be back on the road next year, and I'll probably catch up with a few people in Mexico and a few people in England, and we'll go back to the normal run of things next year. As long as I can maintain the energy to travel, I really do get tired of the travel. It does become a little bit of a toll on the system after a while, folks. Thank you again to all the people who send me so many kind emails. I'm still struggling to get through them, but I'm trying to get through them all. And thank you, thank you, thank you to the people who support me on Patreon, because it is only you who keep this message going, and I can't thank you enough for that, as I'm sure all of the other listeners who can't afford to support also thank you as well. So you have the appreciation of all of us for your efforts in allowing me to continue mine. That is it for me, folks. I've now completely run out of time and reached the end of the show, so I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.